lift your hands up and bless his name. Glory to God. You know, the Lord, he is good. And his mercy indeed endureth forever. I want you to sing hallelujah chorus with me just a couple of times. Hands raised, please. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated as well. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome and thank you for being here. We appreciate your presence. It's a day of celebration. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we want to thank everybody that came, celebrated with us yesterday. I know some of you are here again to celebrate with us. And we're going to get to that portion of the service in a bit. You know, but first, I want to share the word of the Lord this morning, which I believe is going to bless you. And it's also relevant to the occasion. Praise the Lord. And good morning to everyone that's watching, perhaps watching us online. You know, you are here with us in the service this morning, live from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. I always wanted to say that. I always love to say that. Live from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, and this is GMI Church. Praise the Lord. So today, I want to talk about a very important subject, which I believe is going to bless everyone if we engage the Lord in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. The topic today is hands on the plow, eyes on the prize. All right, so I'm going to be talking about that, and that's going to be relevant to today's celebrations and all the things, but I think it's going to bless your heart. So let me give that to you again. That's hands on the plow, eyes on the prize. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, and I want to thank our young men in the back for always helping us out with the scriptures. They do an awesome job. Let's put our hands together for those in the back helping us out with the scriptures. Hallelujah. As Benny there, you know, and Kingsley, and sometimes David, they do an awesome job. You know, I know that it helps me out because I don't have to be searching for the scriptures. So here's what Jesus said. No man, having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? That's what Jesus said. You know, so Now we're going to, let's unpack this verse right here because it's so heavily loaded, you know. So now Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God here. But I'm going to use this verse along with a few other verses to talk about everything. You know, whatever it is, you know, that we are doing, you know, once you put your hands on the plow, Jesus said, if you look back, you're not even fit for the kingdom. You know, so this is one verse where half of my title today came from. Praise the Lord. The other part comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know, so he said, wherefore seeing also that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I dare say, well, let's lay aside every distraction. Hallelujah. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So I'm going to be talking about finishing what you started. Hallelujah. Finishing what you started. Once you put your hands on the plow, you set your eyes on the prize, and you finish. Glory to God. Now, there are some people that are starters, but not necessarily finishers. Well, God isn't very thrilled with that. Jesus said it himself. Don't put your hand on the plow and then look back. He wants you, when you start, you also finish. And he gave us an example. He's not only the author, which is like the starter, but he's also the finisher. So he started and he finished. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about that, and just heart to heart a little bit, you know. But at the end, I'm going to do something that will help you. Praise the Lord. Now, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. But let's look at what some other folks said in the Bible about this kind of thing. You know, Paul especially. Let's look at what he said in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read from verses 13 and 14 of Philippians chapter 3. And here's what Paul said. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived. You know, I don't count myself to have arrived yet. But here's one thing that I do. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are in front, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So this man is constantly present. Now, this man was a highly qualified man. In fact, he said, look, I schooled under the school of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was a noted, noted scholar and teacher and instructor in those days. And if you went to school, it's like for you saying, look, you know, I trained in Harvard or this place or so, you know, some other, you know, tech schools and things like that. But he said, look, I'm always pressing toward the mark for the prize that is, you know, of the high calling. There's a prize, you know, at the end. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 and verse 13. Here's what Jesus said. He said, look, pretty much it's not just those that start, but those that endure to the end. Now, enduring to the end, and I'm going to tell you some other natural things in a minute. Let me just use these scriptures, you know, to lay a foundation for us. Then we're going to talk. You know, so remember the topic is put your hands on the plow, keep your eyes on the prize, and you don't look back. And Jesus gave us an example in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Very short verse. He said, remember what? Remember Lot's wife. Now, the story didn't end very well for her because the angel said, hurry up. You guys got to get out of this way. I can't do anything until you get out. And even while Lot was lingering, the angel took hold of his hand. The Lord having mercy on him, grabbed everyone and then told them, escape for your life into the hills. Don't look back now. You know, but, you know, this woman, I'm not sure what, you know, either she didn't, you know, hear the instructions, or she wouldn't follow, or her mind or her heart was still in Sodom or whatever. You know, but the Lord, the angel of the Lord said, don't do that now. Escape for your life. Keep your eyes in the front. Hallelujah. Don't look back. You know, but she did. And what happened to her? Anybody know what happened to her? You know, I don't know if it was atomic fallout on her or something happened. Because they were supposed to be moving fast away from that place. She became a pillar of salt. I mean, I don't know if Lot and his family ever got that image out of their minds. You know, for somebody to be standing there and all of a sudden they just, you know, become something else. But that was a warning. And Jesus said, look, remember Lot's wife. Said that. I actually preached a message here a couple years ago titled just that. You might want to check it out on the website. You know, now, that I just brought that in today, you know, to reinforce this lesson. Paul also speaking to Timothy. You know, Timothy was one of those people that Paul brought up, and Paul was always mentoring him and things like that. And here's what Paul said to him in 2 Timothy, let's read chapter 2 and verse 5. You know, he said, look, if a man strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, what does that mean? That means if you're an athlete of any kind, there are certain rules. You can't just do whatever you like. There are certain rules. Now, there are two rules that I want to talk about today if you're an athlete. You know, let's say track and field, for instance. That's something that's near and dear to my heart because, you know, yours truly used to be a track and field athlete. You know, so I always love track and field. In fact, anytime they're showing track and field on TV, let's say Summer Olympics or some of these championships they do, you know, all through year, I'm always there. I got to check it out. Praise the Lord. So there are two things, two very important rules. For you to get a prize, one, let's say it's a race. Well, first of all, you know, you've got to run the race according to the rules. And second of all, and maybe the, you know, I don't know either one, but it's more important, but they both go together. The second of all, you got to finish the race. Hallelujah. You got to finish the race. You can't just start the race and fall by the wayside and expect to get anything. There are no prizes, folks, for those that drop out. Hello? If you are in school, you young people, listen to me. You have nothing to show for it if you drop out. So what you started, you must finish. Hallelujah. Now, if you started the race, and, you know, there are some races that are sprints. Some of them are longer races and so on. It doesn't matter whichever race. You know, I love the sprints. I did the sprints. I didn't, you know, I couldn't do those long ones or longer ones. I mean, I did them for just training, you know. training, endurance training and stuff, but I couldn't do them competitively. But if you're running, especially some of those shorter races, the truth of the matter is they have certain rules. You've got to, there are some races that you have to stay in your lane. How many of you know that's true? And you may cross the, I've watched some races, you know. In fact, I saw somebody from the U.S. run a 200 meters in some meet one day, and they were jubilating, but they had stepped on the inner lane. You know, the lane has markings. If you step, you have to be squarely in the middle of the lane. You know, if you step, if your foot so much as touches either the inner lane or the outer lane, you could be disqualified. So this young man, he ran the race. Actually, he came in like in the bronze position. He was third. And he was jubilating. He went and got the flag of the U.S. and he was going around the thing, you know. And then in the meantime, one of the officials had noted that. And they went to do the review. And after they did the review, they saw that his foot, and they actually showed it. And his foot was on the lane markings. And that's a disqualification. And he was disqualified. Now, even though he was jubilating. So that's one rule. You know, you've got to run according to the rules. You know. And Paul was talking about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. Talking about spiritual things. He said, look, you know, I know the rules of engagement. You know, 1 Corinthians 9, 25. I know the rules of engagement. When I fight, he said, look, first of all, he said, every man that is striving for mastery is temperate in all things. We're going to read the two verses. Everyone that's striving for mastery, you know, so you're an athlete, you discipline yourself, you train. Now, they are doing it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we who are running in a spiritual race, we're trying to obtain an incorruptible crown. Amen. So, go on to the next verse, you know. Next verse, please. So, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, you know, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I mean, this man knows the rules of engagement. He's not just shadow boxing, you know, just throwing wild punches. Strategically aiming his shots and his punches. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know, you can go to school, and I know some people who have done that. If you go to a bachelor's program, you guys who are in school, if you don't go to advisement, like you should, and then they say, well, you got to take 120 credits, okay? Now, you can go and pile on 120 credits. You are even pile on 150 credits, right? But if you don't meet all the requirements in all the categories that you are supposed to have met, some of them may be electives, some of them may be your minor, some of them may be your major, some of them may be this and that. If you don't meet all those things, at the end of the day, you will think that, well, I got 120 credits. And they say, no, you haven't fulfilled the requirements. Can somebody say amen to that? So you got to do these things according to the rules. Now, one important rule that I'm talking about today is finish the race. Finish the race. And it's so appropriate because, like we were giving a testimony, my daughter was the testimony, and she'll be here and give her testimony later on. You know, there was a point in time that she did not think she was going to finish the race. And I said, well, finish the race. Hallelujah. You've got to finish what you started. You can't quit. You know, I remember myself, you know, many years ago. And, you know, I had the opportunity when I came into, my wife was talking about my son becoming, I mean, turning 40, and that's how long we've been in this country. When I came into this country in 1983 with my family, my brain was still at its peak academically, you know. And I had the opportunity then to have gone and done my master's or done all of these things and so forth. I didn't, for whatever reason. You know, by chasing the dollar or whatever. So anyway, somewhere around 1986, I had the opportunity to enroll in a master's program at ASU. And when I did, well, actually, the company I was working for then, you know, they had a sponsorship program. They pay 80% of your tuition. I said, wow, that's cool, 80%. So I enrolled. And then it turned out that after I had taken 18 credits, I needed only 30. I'd taken 18 credits, somehow I lost that job. And then I went into consulting for myself, and I could not stay in one place. I was traveling all over the country for 14 years. I went everywhere. Some of you may know the story. My family knows it very well. You know, so I went, you know, and I could not get back to finish that thing that I started. And the thing was like hanging over my head. Now, what was the reason why I was doing the master's in the first place? It was just something I wanted to do, set an example for my kids. You know, at that time in my career, I really didn't need it because, I mean, I was already a subject matter expert in many areas of my field. But then because I started the thing, it was hanging over my head that I had to finish. So many years go by, right? And they gave you, like, at ASU in those days, I don't know what it is today, but they gave you 6 years to complete the thing. Well, so more than 6 years went by. I was traveling all over this place for almost 14 years. Yeah, it's amazing how quickly time flies. If you don't take advantage of what you should do, that time will not wait for you. You just find out that, oh, the next thing you know, the time is already past. 1 year has gone, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. By the time I woke up and say, well, you know, at one point in time, I had my wife and all my the older children, all of them were in school, almost in college at the same time. I mean, it was like a lot of bills to pay. And I'm like, I don't have time to go to school. I got to work. I got to get some of this money, pay all this tuition. You know, so, and I was doing that. And finally, when they started to, you know, graduate and fall off the list of tuition, then finally I said, yeah, you know, there's something that I started that I haven't finished. Hallelujah. So I said, well, let me go back to ASU. So I go to ASU. I said, look, I got to do this program. They said, well, sorry, more than 6 years have elapsed. You're going to have to start over. Now, that was enough to just make me to call it quits. Because 18 out of 30 was very close. But now I got to start all over. But I said, well, you know what? I started this thing. I got to finish it. Hallelujah. So by the time I went back, I tell you what, I was in class with people who are calling me grandpa. These kids were like 22. I mean, they were doing their master's program. Some of them were 22. And I was coming in there, I was like very close to 50. And they called me grandpa. I'm like, well, you know, whatever. This is America. You know, you can do. Look, my wife, when she went to school, when she went and did her pinning or whatever, you know, thing, there was one woman there. You know, and I hope you remember, she was graduating at age 70. It wasn't that she wanted to do anything with it. She was just something she started, and she wanted to finish it. Hallelujah. I was looking at that woman at 70 years old. So, in fact, when I was going back to do my own thing, I remember that woman. I said, look, this woman at 70, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, so anyway, they called me grandpa and all that. I said, well, grandpa is going to show you some stuff. And you know, when you go to school, when you are older, you actually have to show them. Because the knowledge you have that others don't have is your advantage. And when I was taking those computer classes, I had an advantage. Hallelujah. Because I was already in the field. And I showed them. Grandpa is going to show you. Praise God. Now, of course, the inspiration of the Almighty. Woo. There were days, there was a class, folks, that I took. And I used to pride myself on, I was very good in math and all these things. I mean, I was good. In fact, when my kids were in school and I was traveling and so forth, I would be calling them on phone. My wife would tell you. And I would say, read the thing to me. I would be doing their homework over the phone. They would just read the math or what science or whatever to me on the phone. And my brain was working. But I guarantee you what, by the time I went back to this class, that brain had gone to sleep. The only portion of my brain that was working at that time was for the scriptures. Anytime I pack scripture in my brain, just pack it in my brain, I never forget. It's amazing. But it seems like I have, you know, selective memory. Some days my wife will ask me, that place where we went for that, yeah, I mean, no, she will be talking about it, actually. And I will be asking her, that wedding we went, where was it? I can't even remember. I don't have dementia or anything. But it's selective memory. It's like, look, my memory bank has only so much space. So unconsciously, I just throw out some of these things that don't matter. It's the truth. I just throw out these things, but things that matter, I always remember, especially the scriptures. Hallelujah. I don't forget any scripture, you know, and all that. So anyway, by the time I went back to the school, look, there was a class I was taking. It was a math class. And I called a friend of mine. I said, all these symbols, the symbols just look like all these things, sigma, psi, phi, and all these things. I said, these symbols look like snake. What is this thing? I used to know those things when I was in college and high school in the day. In fact, in the day, I was the guy. I was the guy they came to. You know, even books, I was the guy. Math, science, I was the guy. But you let enough time pass, and then you are here. So I tell my wife, how did I get myself into this thing? I will be in the lab, and then they gave us some classes. We had to, those of you who know IT, I had to construct a compiler in a language that I didn't even know. And I will be, my wife will call me at 2 a.m., I will still be in the lab, you know. And I'm like, well, but I got to figure this thing out. Hallelujah. So by the inspiration of the Almighty, I was figuring it out, you know. And I've told you some of those testimonies. I won't go into that, you know, today, but I figured it out. But the point I wanted to make was, I didn't quit. I went back in there, and you know, and the Lord also sees that you have this thing going in your heart. He'll make a way for you. Amen. And He made a way for me. Then when I went back, they said I have to take this comprehensive exam. I can't even remember what they called it. So I went to the library. I saw the book. The book was about this big. For the thing that you had to read. I'm like, I can't read this thing. Where am I going to put all that information? And he said, well, you got to read, you got to do this exam now in order to qualify into this class. Because we have like thousands of people. And there is, we only have room for like 20 something. And so we are selecting the people. This was in the program that I wanted to do in computer science. It was a special program. It wasn't the regular Masters of Science. It was, they call it Master of Computer Science. It was specialized. And you had to do more practicals and stuff like that. It wasn't just writing dissertations. And so, and I said, well, I don't know if I take that exam, if I will pass it, because the brain is not working as it used to. So I went and I wrote a petition. Say, Lord will make a way for you if you really want to do something. Amen. Amen. I wrote a petition. I said, look, I've been here before. I had, you know, whatever. You know, the argument didn't carry any water, but I made the argument anyway. You know, I had 18 credits, and I did whatever, you know, and so forth. I prayed over the thing, and I submitted it to one of my instructors, and they carried it forward. Well, one of the people that I was going to take a class under, I hadn't enrolled yet. I was still trying to enroll. And the next thing I know, which they never did for anybody. They gave me an exemption. Hallelujah. They gave me an exemption. I didn't have to take, if I had taken that exam, I don't think I would have passed because I wasn't going to read that book. The book was like this thing. I'm not going to read this stuff. There's no place to put this stuff. So anyway, I got in there and I started to take those programs, you know, those classes. But I determined in my heart that, look, since I'm now grandpa, you know, grandpa is in the class. And since I'm here, not because my parents are now forcing me to do it, I'm doing this thing for my kids to show that, look, you don't quit. I'm going to ace all my classes. Hallelujah. Now, that was my plan. Well, it almost worked out. I almost aced them all. One of them, I think I got a B+. But I aced all the rest. In fact, the one I got a B that time, I went home. I was so sad. My wife, I said, well, what are you sad about? I said, well, I didn't get an A. Praise God. But anyway, cut a long story short, I finished that thing. Hallelujah. And when I finished, it was 2003. I was almost about to be 50 years old. I was 49 plus. Well, nevertheless, you know, all those people that call me grandpa, actually, my GPA was better than most of them, actually, maybe all of them. And on that day, I put on my gown just like everybody else. Hallelujah. I walked down that, you know, I strutted my stuff. Yeah. Give me that diploma. Hallelujah. And if you come to my house, I frame that thing and I put it on the wall. It's on the wall in my office. Hallelujah. Because I achieved it. Amen. You know, so don't quit. You can do it. I'll tell you another story too, and I'm going to give you a powerful scripture at the end. I'm going to pray for some people. But let me just tell you this story so you can laugh. I told this story some months ago, and as I told you, I am a fan of track and field. I'm going to tell it to you. Some of you again, some of you have not heard it, some of you have heard it before. 2016 Olympics in Tokyo. I don't know if you guys watch that stuff, but I do. The women's 4x110, that was a race that I used to do. You know, 4x110. You know, they were the defending champions, but they won the race in 2012, that was done in London. Fast forward 4 years. They do this thing every 4 years. 2016, they came in as the defending champions. And everybody said, well, the team to beat, USA versus Jamaica. They have some great sprinters in Jamaica. So in the one of the qualifying rounds that will get them into the finals, you have to qualify not only by position, but also by time. The first three automatically advance, then time, and so on. So anyway, USA is running this race. There is a veteran in that team. Her name is Allison Felix. Now, Allison Felix, till this day, is one of the most decorated track and field athletes. You know, by last count, I know, I think she's won like 19 or something championships and 12 or some gold medals, and all kinds of things. She just got all kinds of accolades, you know. Anyway, he was running a second leg. And if you know how the relay thing works, you've got to not only stay in your track. And the relay has some rules. You got to stay in your track. You got to hand the baton over. I used to run anchor leg when I was in Nigeria, so I know all about this. I ran it for college. I was also even ran it for all your state in Nigeria. And I could have gone on to the Olympics, but I didn't. Anyway, now, I knew what these rules were. You have to pass the baton inside a specific range, and you can't drop it and all of that and so on. And you got to finish the race, obviously. So anyway, first leg to second leg was good. The veteran was in second leg. Very good. She ran her race. When she was about to pass the baton to the third leg, they dropped the baton. And they were the favorites. Well, maybe Jamaica, but they were favorite. I mean, they were the defending champions. And they dropped the baton, and she put her hand over her head like this. And then 2 seconds later, and later on, they showed us what happened. There was another team that was on the other lane that actually bumped into her when she was about to pass her baton, bumped her and caused her to lose her stability and drop the baton. We didn't know that at first, because when you're watching the race in real time, you don't see that, you know. So, and then she went, and then she went, and everybody was like, oh. Then she just went, and she picked up the baton. Now, this is it, folks. You got, and when I preached this thing some months ago, I said, you got to pick up the baton and finish the race. So she picked up the baton and went to the rookie and said, you know, I didn't hear what she was saying, but she said something, you know. And she said, we got to finish this race. Run around the track. She knew in her mind, see, the rules are this. For you to even have a chance at an appeal, you must finish the race. If they didn't finish the race, they would have no chance at that appeal. And she was a veteran. She knew the rules. The other one was saying, what? Finish the race. So she put the baton in her hand. She ran. The thing was already finished. She ran, gave it to the fine uncle leg, ran. They brought the thing home. And you have 30 minutes to appeal. So they started preparing. Spoke to their coaches and this. I said, yeah, I was bumped. And so they brought the thing. They reviewed the thing. And it was true. She was actually bumped by the other team that was on her right hand side, and they bumped her when she was about to pass the baton, and the baton flew out of her hand. So they said, well, you know, since it wasn't really your fault, we're going to reinstate you. So they reinstated them. But you see, unfortunately for them, they had already selected 8 teams that qualified. And they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We cannot ask those people to rerun the race. So you are going to rerun your own race. And I preached a message like this some years ago. I said, run your own race, you know, tactfully and confidently. I said, you're going to rerun the race, and only you will be in the field. All the others already qualified. Now you are going to have to qualify on time. Now they already had 8 teams that qualified. And normally, the best team that qualifies on time, they put them in lane number 5. The middle lane, you have the advantage. You know, the best lane, lane number 5. They don't normally assign lane 1 because the curve is too sharp. They start from lane 2 to 9. So anyway, there was only lane 1 left. But they put them back in the lane that they was the first time they ran the race. They ran in that same lane, and they were the only team, nobody else. And then they ran. And talk about pressure. Now, if you drop the baton now, who can you blame? So you talk about pressure. But they ran that race. I mean, they focused, they ran that race, and they qualified on time. Hallelujah. Now, when they qualified on time, they said, oh, wow, they actually qualified on time. And their time was actually better than the rest of it. So, but now they put them in lane 1, which is the most difficult lane because it has the sharpest turn, you know, and nobody ever wants that lane. So they put them in lane 1 and for the finals. And they ran in the finals. They came in first. Yeah. They ran that race. In fact, I watched that thing yesterday again, you know, just to make sure I had my facts right. They ran that thing. Was so beautiful. Now, if they had run in lane 5, they would have set a record. But lane 1 is so difficult. They ran that thing. They came in first. And they beat Jamaica. And Jamaica was really great sprinters. And they came in first. They were so determined. But all of that was because they finished the race. Hello? And when they interviewed Alison Felix, and she was telling all these things, and she knew this, she knew the rules. Now, if they wouldn't have finished that first race, they would have had no chance at an appeal. Hello? Let alone get a prize. Now, so, when you put your hands on the plow, you keep your eyes on the prize, no looking back. You finish what you started. And I'm glad today, I'm a proud father, that my daughter, she finished what she started. Hallelujah! There were times she said, well, you know, maybe the master's program is good enough. I said, no, you got to finish what you started. And she was under tremendous pressure from everything, you know, business, work, and all of that. She'll tell you her own testimony. But she finished what she started. And we thank God for the grace of God Almighty. Of course, my wife and I prayed every single day for all our kids by name. Hallelujah. We have a family altar once, perhaps even twice every day. Call each one of their names. Pray for them, whether they are there or not. And even when they are there, they know that those prayers are powerful. Amen. Always pray for your children. And always speak good things into their lives. You know, and I looked at the thing she put there yesterday. It said 2022. And I told mom, I said, good, I like that. Because 22 is my number. Just so happens that my birthday is on 22. And I've always liked number 22. So when I got in there yesterday, and there was a lot of things that militating against her to not graduate last year, but she spoke it herself. We always gather together in our family at Thanksgiving and some other times. And especially the one at Thanksgiving, we'll go around, we'll give testimony, we'll do this, and everybody will bring their prayer requests, and I would pray over them. And the kids, they know. They would record the thing. They'll record it on their phone, and they would play it throughout the year, speak prophecy into their lives and so forth, or whatever the Lord brought. And anyway, she prophesied and declared to herself the previous Thanksgiving. And this thing had been all going on and going on and going on. There was a time she just took a break for years. And then already the COVID thing, the business, their business, nothing. So she didn't have any more excuses. So she had to go back. And then she said, well, I'm going to finish next year, which was 2022, because that was 2021 that she was saying that. And God did everything. And one lady that was used was there yesterday, those of you who were there, that was her chair. You know, that God used her to do a lot of things. Praise the Lord. And while she was doing it, the chair is there. Would you stand, please? Oh, praise God. Just wave to the group. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't realize our chair was here. Thank you so much. And she moved to be forward. And she helped, you know, inspire her to get things done, timeline and everything. And of course, also, wow, it was amazing that while she was doing all of that, the Lord gave her grace. She set all kinds of records while she was there. And yesterday, you're celebrating and you hear her testimony again today, the full of it. But she's doing it now, and we're all here now celebrating because she finished. Hallelujah. So you must finish what you start. Especially when it's, you know, career, business, this family and all of that and so on. You know, finish. Don't put your hands on the plow and then look back. Hands on the plow, eyes on the prize, and finish. Hallelujah. Let me give you this word of the Lord, and I'm going to pray for you that those of you who are struggling with finishing what you started, I'm going to pray for you this morning. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, same thing if you start a business. Well, listen to my wisdom series before you even start a business. So listen to the prudence thing. Because some people want to start business. They have no clue. They just jump in. The Lord told me, you will make shipwreck. And that's not going to work. Train, learn, gather knowledge. I told you, at the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. You have to have knowledge. You know, you have to gather knowledge. That's why we go to school. That's why I have great scholars here who teach us and all of that. So here is the verse I'm going to leave with you today. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to declare some things for you. Let's read Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Here the Lord says, look, it's not by might and it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Are they putting it up for me or not? Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. I may have to pull it up myself. Because I want to read it to you exactly how he says it. I don't want to paraphrase it. So let me read it here. Zechariah chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 6 to 9. The Lord answered and said to him, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the Lord will give you the grace to do it. Hallelujah. Who art thou, O great mountain? You know, sometimes it's like, I mean, these mountains are like insurmountable. But the Lord is greater than the mountain. Hallelujah. In fact, many years ago, the Lord showed me that, you know, explained it to me, and I saw it in the spirit. You know, it was like a big mountain. You know, and when you're standing beneath that mountain, it's so huge, you can't even see the top of it. But you got to move back, and you move back, and you get the right elevation to see the top of that. And when you move back enough, then the sight that you saw, or I saw, was like, wow. And there was this colossal figure standing astride that mountain that looked so big. And I knew it was the Lord. And what I thought was so big, I mean, the Lord actually dwarfed that thing. Just completely dwarfed it. You know, but you got to put your eyes upon him. Amen. Here's what he said. He said, look. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you become a plain. Now, let me prophesy to some of you here today. Those mountains that have been the cause or causes of discouragement in your life, they will become plain. Amen. Amen. 2023. Remember what the Lord told us at the beginning of the year. This is your year to emerge. And in 2023, the Lord will make all those mountains come down. As a matter of fact, you know, began to tell him, you know, Joshua, Noah, in the ark, Genesis 8 and 1, and said, look, at some point in time, the top of the mountains became visible. Now, the top of those mountains are becoming visible for you in 2023. Amen. The things that you thought were hitherto unattainable, they're right there. But keep your hands on the plow and keep your eyes on the prize. And the Lord said, he said, look, the Lord is going to give you grace, grace, grace. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. This is where I'm going with this. And this is God's prophetic word to you here today. The hands of Zerubbabel started this thing, and his hands will also finish it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you are here this morning, you can claim that. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. Glory to God. That's a prophetic declaration for some of you here today. It could even be business. You start business, the thing is up and down and so forth, and you're about to quit. Look, finish what you started. Now, of course, you know, if the Lord didn't lead you into that direction in the first place, that's a different story. Let's talk about that one. But if you are in school and you are trying to finish your school, you don't need to be praying whether you should finish or should not finish. That one, you must finish. Hallelujah. Because that's what's going to give you an advantage. You've got to finish. Praise the Lord. And you know what it is today? This pyramid, it's like a pyramid of, you know, educational achievement. And at the base of the pyramid, you got millions of people. It used to be when I got my first degree in computer science in 1978 or so, when you had a bachelor's degree in computer science, you were not at the base of that pyramid. You were almost close to the top. Today, even if you have a master's degree, you are still at the base of the pyramid. Because everybody and their brother now has a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and MIS degree and some MBA degree and all of these things and so forth. You know, and so, you know, what begins to narrow the crowd, you distinguish yourself, and the advantage you have, listen to our knowledge series, is the knowledge that you have that others don't have. Hallelujah. So, finish and go higher. That's my exhortation to you today. Finish what you started. I'm a proud father today because my baby girl started something and she finished it. Hallelujah. It took us a whole lot longer than we thought, but doesn't matter today. And I'm going to be praying for you in a minute, baby girl. Yeah. You know, your sphere of influence just enlarged. The Lord's going to enlarge your sphere of influence. I mean, she's always had, you know, the ability to lead and teach and so forth, but it's nothing like you've seen before. The plummet. He said the plummet is now in the hand of Zerubbabel. I don't have time to preach on this chapter. Someday I'll preach more on it. But it's now in your hand, girl. The plummet is now in your hand. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to stand to our feet. That's our exhortation for you today. And listen again to this. Put your hands on the plow and keep your eyes on the prize. And finish what you start. Be a finisher. Don't be a quitter. Now, I remember when my children were growing up, I used to tell them, finish your housework. Don't start the chore and then you do 15 minutes of the chore and then run off for 2 hours. No, that's not going to work. Finish the thing first. Hallelujah. You know, it's also discipline. All these things are part of discipline. Finish what you started. The Lord himself, he was not only the author, but also the finisher of our faith. I want to pray for you here today. If you've been struggling with mountains, the Lord said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You can put your name there. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be brought down, and the Lord will bring forth the headstone and with grace unto you. And your hands that started and laid the foundation will also finish it. Hallelujah. Now, you're not going to labor in vain. The Lord said in Isaiah 62, he said, the Lord, I have sworn by myself that I will no longer give your corn to your enemies for the which you have labored. But those of you that have labored it, he say, you have gathered it, you also eat it in the courts of my holiness. But you must finish what you started. For you to even get a chance at a reward, you have to finish it. If Tubi had dropped out 3 years ago, well, you wouldn't be here today celebrating with her. You know, first, you comply with the rules, and then you finish. But while you're running the race, you keep your eye on the prize. Jesus himself kept the eye on the prize that was set before him. Let's lift our hands and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone that's here today. Glory to God. And if you have this need for a, what I might call a turbo boost, because you've been discouraged, too many distractions, what have you, and so forth. And Lord, don't let the devil Or the, you know, anybody tell you that, it doesn't matter. It matters a lot. You know, Tubi will now be able to enjoy her, you know, the advancement that she has gained. You know, all those years of stress translate into something wonderful now. So I want to pray for you. I don't need you to come out today because I want to finish this in the next 2 minutes. But I want you to say, Lord, I need this grace. Remember I said it will bring forth the headstone thereof crying, grace, grace. I need this grace to be a finisher. I don't want to be a quitter. I want to finish what I started. Hallelujah. Jesus said, anyone that puts their hand on the plow and looks back, it's not even fit for the kingdom. If that's you today, I want all heads bowed in this place, if you will, please. Bow your heads. And I want those that want this prayer, just raise your hand. You don't have to come up, but I'm going to pray for you. And this prayer will put something in your life that will change your story. You will be not only a starter, but you will be a finisher. Hallelujah. Let me see those hands up. I see some hands. I see some hands. I see some hands. I see some hands. Hallelujah. Hands all over this place. You know, but I'm not going to call you out today because it will take much longer. But I'm going to keep those hands up and I'm going to pray. As a matter of fact, those of you that raise your hand, raise both hands up. Raise them up real high. Do you know what that means? It says, Lord, carry me. That's what it means. Those little kids, when they want to be carried by their parent, they come to the parent and they raise their hand up. Because they want the parent to carry. The Lord is going to carry you. Hallelujah. And in 2023, glory to God, you will not be a quitter. God is setting you on course to be a finisher. Your hands that laid the foundation, your hands will also finish it. Amen. The spirit of grace will come upon you. And God will give you the ability, the cunningness, to know the rules. You know, you got to learn knowledge. And also to have the endurance to finish. And particularly for those who are students, because this has to do with, you know, somebody being a student that's graduating and so forth. For those of you who are students, and we have some people who are students in their older ages, it becomes harder. You young folks, do all you can do when you are still young. Amen. Don't be like me and be going to school and everybody say, Grandpa. And your brain is struggling, you know. When you are still young, you know, tackle the thing and finish it. You know, Apostle John said, you young men, I've written to you because you are strong. Hallelujah. And Lamentation 3 and verse 27. I want them to put that up for me and we can read it together. This is my parting thing for you. All you young people, look at the screen. Look at the screen today, all you young people who are here. It is good. It's not just for a man, just a man here. It is good for you to bear the yoke in your youth. When you are still young, tackle these things. Hallelujah. Don't wait until you are gray-headed and all that, and then you say, oh, I got to do this. Well, you know, maybe better late than never. But tackle these things now. Make hay while the sun shines. Even Jesus said, the day is now. Do what you got to do now. The night is coming when you won't be able to do anything. And then you'll be not as strong as you were when you were in your youth. When you are in your youth, you young folks, listen to me. Do whatever you are going to do. You're going to get a bachelor's, get a master's. You're going to get a master's, get a PhD. Hallelujah. Do it already. You know, and the Lord will give you the grace. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here today. And we thank you, Lord, for your encouragement to us. The hands that are here, the hands that may have been weakened, whatever hands may have been hanging down, I pray for grace for your hands in Jesus' name. Your hands have started something. It might even be business. Some of you, it's business. It's not school. It's business. But you started a business and you are oscillating back and forth. You know, no. God is going to, this 2023 will be the year in which we emerge. Amen. God will begin to set you apart, but you must set your mind to finish the thing. I have put my hands on the plow and I'm keeping my eyes on the prize and I am not looking back. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on now, somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Well, I hope you were blessed with that. You may be seated. Thank you all so much for listening.